Are you looking for your next great read, but stumped on where to find it? Let me be your book fairy godmother. When you join Rhonda with a Book on Patreon for $5 a month, I will send you a personalized book recommendation, plus my All Things Bookish newsletter every month, and give you a shout out and plug your project here on the podcast. If you're on a budget, no worries. For only a dollar a month, you can get just the newsletter, which includes exclusive content not found on the blog, and a collection of links to articles, stories, and products book nerds will love, curated by yours truly. Go to patreon.com/rondawithabook to join. Thanks so much for your support, and as always, happy reading. Good day, friends, and welcome to the Rhonda with a Book podcast, where I, Rhonda, spill the tea on books. Not literally, of course. For this week's reader chat, I got the chance to talk to the co-host of Fictional Hangover podcast, not Claire, but the other co-host, Amanda Garrison. Of course, my very first reader chat was with Claire, so now my collection of Fictional Hangover hosts is complete. Amanda has previously worked in several roles within public libraries, including as a teen librarian and as an early literacy coordinator. So we had to geek out over libraries together for just a bit. We also discussed the joys of choose-your-own-adventure books, and we made plans to launch a new podcast together, and I think we were semi-serious about that, so keep an eye out for that in the future. You'll be able to find a list of all the books that Amanda and I discussed at rondawithabook.com. Please enjoy this reader chat. I have with me today, via Skype, of course, the other co-host of Fictional Hangover. It's Amanda. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I got a chance to talk to Claire, your lovely co-host.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Isn't she wonderful? Don't
she
you love her?
She is so great, and I know she's listening right now.
Yeah, she probably is.
So she was able to kind of give me like sort of behind the scenes look at how she prepares to discuss books on Fictional Hangover. How do you prepare to discuss books on Fictional Hangover?
Other than reading all the books all the time. That's pretty much it. You know, I prefer to listen to audiobooks, but I'm sure she told you that we summarize the books. Mm-hmm. So we take turns doing that most of the time. So I, when it comes to that, most of the time I listen and summarize at the same time, but I'll also try to get the ebook so I can read it like two or three times while we're doing it, which ends up getting a little bit intense. But, you know, it's okay because most of the time I don't hate the books that we choose to discuss
That's
on
good.
The show.
That's helpful.
Yeah. So I also do all the editing for the show, and that takes up a lot of my time. And I also mm-hmm. run our website. So Fictional Hangover takes up a lot of my life.
Oh,
it
yeah.
takes up a lot of my time.
I know the feeling. not for Fictional Hangover, of course, but yeah, that podcasting life, it really sucks you in.
It really does, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I enjoy it. And I'm lucky that I was able to convince Claire to join in with me after my first co-host left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always nice to have a partner.
It really is. I tried to do a couple of episodes of Fictional Hangover by myself, and they were just sad.
Aw.
But that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah, it is really different. Like, I've found with the solo episodes that I do, like, I have to have everything scripted. I can't ad-lib anything, or it just doesn't.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're by yourself. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is the fakest thing I've ever done. Ready, go.
Because you're just talking to yourself, basically. I mean, like, you have a microphone, but, like, you're just talking to yourself. Yeah.
It's really bad for Fictional Hangover because the first, you know, hour of the episode is summarizing a book with lots of details. Mm-hmm. And if you do that by yourself, it's just like, hello, I am going to tell you everything I know about this book, and it's going to be the worst thing you've ever heard. Ready? Go!
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really tough, I would think.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
Well, and Fictional Hangover, I would say, is ridiculous in the best way. So that's...
Thank you. It's my life goal for everything to be ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous in the best way possible. So you've said that you will like reread the books that you're reading for Fictional Hangover. You said like mm-hmm. two or three times.
Mostly two times.
Okay, gotcha. So are you ever able to read anything that's not for Fictional Hangover?
Yes, surprisingly okay. enough, yes. Most of the time, I'm reading at least two things at a time, sometimes okay. three, but that third one is always a comfort read and or mostly comfort listen. I listen to like 98% of the books that I take in, so they're all okay. listening. But I typically have a comfort listen going. Like if I can't sleep at night, I'll put something mm-hmm. in, and it's something that I've read 100,000 times.
Sure.
But I still count it because I'm still enjoying it.
Definitely. So what's a comfort read for you or comfort listen?
My go-to comfort listens are the Harry Potter series, the Finishing School series by Gail Carriger.
I love her.
I know, she's the best. And Lainey Taylor.
Okay.
Especially Strange the Dreamer, that duology by Lainey Taylor. It's one of my absolute favorites. And I think, I mean, it's mostly due to the whimsy of the story, but also, I mean, Steve West he's the narrator and his voice is made of dreams. So you can't not listen to audiobooks by Steve West.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I have not read Strange the Dreamer yet, so...
I gasp in horror at you.
I'll try to do audio when I get to that one.
Please do.
Yeah. So what are you reading right now then?
Well, for the podcast, I'm currently reading The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern.
Mm.
And listening to it, of course. It's narrated mm-hmm. by Jim Dale, which also kind of brings in the comfort factor thing because he also narrates the U.S. versions of the Harry Potter books. So, it's kind of like going home listening to an audiobook by Jim Dale. So I'm listening to that and also reading the ebook. And on the side, not podcast related, and oh my gosh, it's taking forever. My husband and I are listening to The Stand by Stephen King.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's over 1,000 pages long, which makes the audiobook literally 47 hours. So, and we don't listen often. You know, whenever I'm at home or, doing stuff by myself, I have an audiobook in my ears, so it's fine. But we're listening to this one together, and we only listen on, like, road trips normally.
Okay.
But, you know, it's kind of a hellscape outside, so we haven't really gone on any road trips. But we've been listening since July, and we only have about 6 hours left. Oh. And I'm not going to lie to you, I have sped up the audio. because I can't listen at normal speed. I think there's something wrong with my brain. I have to listen at chipmunk speed.
So do you do like 1.5 or like?
For myself personally, I typically do 2.
Okay.
But listening with my husband, this one, I think I have it set at 1.5. So it's not so fast that you can't understand what's going on. But, you know, it's less than 47 hours.
Uh-huh. Sure.
slightly less.
Wow, that's really long. I think the longest audiobook I've listened to was A Game of Thrones, and it was like 35 hours. So that's like 47 is a little... That seems a little gratuitous. Like,
it is a little bit much.
Did it need to be that long?
No. And oh my gosh, this is like the second release of The Stand. You know, it came out originally in the early 80s, I think. And this is a new publication in the 90s where he's added more to it.
Oh, of course.
So maybe the original is only like 40 hours and this one is 47.
Would you consider yourself a fan of Stephen King?
Yeah, I am. I enjoy Stephen King quite a bit. Mostly because of the movies. I'm also like a horror movie buff.
Sure.
So I enjoy listening to the books too. I think my favorite Stephen King is probably Dr. Sleep.
Okay.
You know, I really liked The Shining too, but Dr. Sleep as its in quotes sequel, I enjoyed quite a bit more.
Okay, so it's a sequel to The Shining?
Yeah. Danny Torrance, the young boy in The Shining, Dr. Sleep is a story featuring him as an adult. So it's a loose sequel, and there's stuff, you know, it refers back to The Shining, but it's not like a direct follow-up.
Sure.
And the movie has Ewan McGregor.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Was that
wonderful.
Just like last year that came out?
Yeah, last year or the year before. It came out recently.
Yeah.
And I have already cosplayed Rose the Hat, the villain of that story. She's a fantastic villain. She wears a top hat.
Nice.
She's delightful.
Yeah. Any character in a top hat, like, of
you
course.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah. All of your cosplays also, I'm just like... fangirling over them all the time whenever I see them.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited for the one that's coming out this week.
Are you
based on Midnight Sun?
Oh, I was just gonna ask. You probably can't tell me which character you're doing.
You know, I'm not going to. And
okay.
I can't. Oh gosh, it's gonna be ridiculous. It's ridiculous in the best way, as we have already discussed. It's going to be a great costume. There will be no glitter involved, though. So
that
should give you a really big clue as to who I'm going to be.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I think by the time this episode comes out, people should be able to go to your Instagram and see it. So
excellent.
Go check that out, guys.
I'll make sure to add you in the hashtags.
Excellent.
Maybe give you a tag so people will know.
Very cool. I listened to your Midnight Sun episode today.
Excellent. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed your episode. I'll say that. I have not read the book, and I'm still not certain that I want to read the book.
You know, after you've listened to us summarize a book, you really don't need to read it.
Yeah,
you really,
that's how
really
I feel.
Don't.
That's how I feel. I'm like, yeah, I've already read Twilight, and I've read Life and Death, so I feel like
you're covered. You're covered.
Is there anything
you
else?
Don't need to know anything else. We filled in all the rest of the blanks for you.
Oh, great, perfect.
How did you feel about Life and Death?
You know, I thought that it was an interesting idea, and I definitely agree that it was better written than Twilight, but I think that, so Stephenie Meyer's stated purpose with Life and Death was to show that like the sort of the gender problems in Twilight weren't really about gender, it was about like human and vampire, but there were enough like significant changes in life and death to show that it really like it was gender based. Some of the differences were based on gender. So I'm like, what was she? Does she not see that? Which I mean, like, if there's going to be like differences based on gender, that's fine, but don't say that there aren't if there are, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then especially don't go back in and add gender specific things to
right.
it. I remember being particularly like put off by, I can't remember the gender swap character's name, but it's Billy Black. And you know, Charlie goes fishing with Billy Black, and but then the lady version is like, oh yeah, I go fishing with my husband. And Charlie, like, no, just go fishing by yourself. Ladies are allowed to fish. It's a thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to go with your male significant other to fish. Although I do that, and I probably wouldn't go fishing by myself. But still, whatever. You don't have to add that in. It was just awkward. It was just awkward that you had to throw in her husband. And there was something also with Esme's gender swap character. Like, I can't remember what it was, but I remember it, like, it made me turn my nose up a little bit.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But well, I still liked it. I still liked the story. I can't not love Twilight, whatever. It's not embarrassing anymore. I'm there. I'm
We're
there
having,
for it.
This is the Twilight Renaissance. Like, La Push, baby.
It's La Push, baby. It's La Push. Oh, my gosh. When we moved, you know, we're not originally from Seattle or the outlying areas. And so when we moved here, we decided we were going to make an effort because my husband is a very nice person. He's he's very thoughtful of my love of Twilight. And so we decided we were going to go to Forks and La Push. But now every time we mention it, it's La Push, baby, La Push. Every single time. And it comes up more often than you would think it would.
Yeah. But one thing I think Life and Death has that's better than Twilight is how it ends. Like,
is
I think
that it ends? Let's just say that.
It actually ends. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think Twilight, like if you just read Twilight as a standalone, I think having an open ending is fine. But the way that Life and Death wrapped up that conclusion, I think, is just stronger than if Twilight had been a standalone novel.
Yeah, I agree. So. Anyway, what are we talking about now? More Twilight? Okay.
More Twilight. Hey, you know, if that's where the night takes us. Yeah. You are a Twilight fan.
Yes.
Like you would consider yourself a Twilight fan.
Yes.
How did you get into it?
I was the one who had to read them in the library that I was working at because I worked with teens.
Okay.
I worked with teens and it was just, oh God, this is a thing and it's happening and everyone is going to be in love with it. So I took the proverbial stake to the heart on that one. And I don't regret it. I remember, though, as the sequels were coming out, everyone at the branch that I worked at was like, hey, You gonna take the plunge? You gonna do this one? You gonna take this one for the team again? Like, yeah, of course I am. Of course I am.
You said that you're not currently working in a library, but you have worked as a librarian before.
Yes.
A teen librarian, is that correct?
Yes, I have been a teen librarian. I have been a youth services librarian.
Okay.
I have been an early literacy specialist. I have been head of youth services in a library system. I have worn many library hats, but all of them involve working with the under 18, for the most part, population.
Okay.
And I do have a master's degree. Regardless of if I am working in a library or not, I will always be a librarian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah.
It's like even when like doctors retire, they're still doctor or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I'm always a librarian, no matter what.
What was your like favorite thing about working within that space?
That's a tough question. I think
I know that's really broad.
It is. It really is. I think my favorite part, let's just narrow it down to teens, because being a teen librarian is my favorite, has been my favorite role in the library, working with teenagers. And I think it's because in the library world, they're the most often overlooked. Funds go to the children's department because, you know, you got to get kids excited to read while they're young. Mm-hmm. And then it moves over into the adult department because, well, you know, they came into the library when they were little and now they're going to start coming back because they're bringing their children to the library. Sure. So we're going to do things for them. So that teen group gets left out quite a bit. So I love working with that age group. Also because teenagers are amazing individuals, especially, you know, they're the next ones that are going to be voting. They're going to be the next ones to change the world. And I want to have a part in that. Mm-hmm. I love working with teens.
Yeah. I have a bit of a soft spot for teenagers as well. I think they are. They're often like misunderstood and they're underestimated quite
definitely
a bit. Yeah. So this is going to, I don't know, maybe you get this question a lot. I don't know. But how do you feel about shelving classics in the teen section of the library?
I'm a fan of shelving books in a location where they're going to be found and checked out. So it could be that if a classic is, you know, it was meant for teenagers when it was released, but, you know, teens aren't reading it, so it's not getting checked out. Well, then let's move it from the teen section to a different section, and maybe it'll get more traffic there, or vice versa. Books don't have to be exactly where they're meant to be. Mm-hmm. They can go anywhere. You can put them anywhere, as long as you can make up an excuse for it.
Sure.
Secrets of the trade. Put it where it will be checked out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was just curious because, like, I've noticed that happens a lot, at least in public libraries that I've been a patron of. Like, it seems so common. And it makes sense in a certain way, but it's also, like, I don't know, just one of those things that makes you think.
I'm personally a fan of having multiple copies shelved in different locations.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Just trick them, put them everywhere.
Yeah. I used to work in a library, actually, for like 2 years. I was a page, and I would find things placed in random areas, and then, yeah, you'd have to figure out.
Excellent. Yes.
Where they went.
I bet I can think of at least a couple of things or a couple of types of books that you found hidden in places. Could probably call them out. But yeah. I don't know if I should. I don't know if that's appropriate.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you obviously still feel a very big connection with YA fiction. You have a whole
definitely.
Podcast about it.
Yes.
What kind of stuff were you reading when you were a teenager?
You know, I did not read a lot when I was a teenager, when I was
interesting.
In high school specifically. And it's a point of contention for me, really. I was in a lot of, you know, advanced placement English courses, and those have required reading. And I don't like to be told what to read. So in being forced to read these books in high school, it really put me off of reading for pleasure because I had to read these things for a grade. I didn't want to do it. I didn't, you know, have any connection to these stories. I'm not a fan of English literature classes or required reading because, and even like when parents would come into the library and ask for leveled or books on their kids' level or whatever. I'm not a fan of that, because for me personally, being told what to read ruined my love of reading. So yeah, I didn't read a lot. Yeah. I read a lot as a kid and in middle school, but once the required readings hit, I lost my passion for it.
You noped out of there.
I did. I noped right the hell out of those books.
So what were you reading as a kid then?
I read a lot of Daniel Pinkwater as a kid. No one knows who Daniel Pinkwater is anymore when I say. He writes a lot of absurd things.
Okay.
A couple of my favorites were The Hoboken Chicken Emergency and Fat Men from Space by Daniel Pinkwater. They're ridiculous books. yeah, I don't really remember a whole lot about them other than the fact that they were just wild and absurd and ridiculous, and they didn't really make a whole lot of sense. But like Fat Men from Space, thinking back on it, the Fat Men from Space came to Earth and took away all the junk food, I think. It had a moral, you know, like, hey, you should eat these vegetables or whatever, but it was just so absurd that, that you know, you don't pick up on it when you're a kid. I also read a lot of Choose Your Own Adventure Goosebumps books.
Yes.
Yeah, those were my favorites as a kid. I mean, I just love horror altogether, so I loved all the Goosebumps books, but the Choose Your Own Adventure ones were fantastic.
Yeah, I loved those too.
I ended up using them as a program in the library, and that was a lot of fun. I did visits to a local elementary school, and I read aloud to the kids while they were eating lunch. And it started out, it was just fourth and fifth graders. And it was a book club at first. And, you know, there was like 15 or 20 kids that came into the library during their lunch break. But then the next school year rolled around and the principal was like, these kids like this too much. You have to come and read in the cafeteria, okay? And so, of course, let's do it. But I got to the cafeteria just a few minutes too early one day. It was during the third grade kids' lunch, and they all just like folded their hands and sat expectantly waiting for me to pull out a book and read to them. So I had to start reading to them too the next week, and I didn't have a lot of time with them, and I started reading to them in October, so I went with Choose Your Own Adventure Goosebumps, and they really enjoyed getting murdered while they ate lunch. It was fantastic. It worked surprisingly well, considering I had a cafeteria full of children, probably like 300 students, and they would properly vote when we got to the bottom of the page, like, okay, raise your hand if you want to go down the dark, dripping, wet, terrifying corridor. Okay, raise your hand if you want to go and pet the alligator, and they would properly do it. And they died a lot.
That's so great. I love Choose Your Own Adventure. I just think it's such an interesting way to experience a story, and to have it be like a collective, like they're all deciding together.
It was really amazing. I was worried that it wasn't going to work out because, you know, kids get rowdy sometimes. And it's expected, and they did not. They were spectacular children. God, they're probably seniors in high school by now, but it was amazing.
Were you wearing a cosplay at the time? Is that how
you know? No, not every time. But get ready for it. One of the days that I went to visit, scheduled day, was Halloween. And let's see, for the third graders, I was reading Goosebump books. I can't remember what I was reading to the fourth graders, but the fifth graders, I was reading Coraline. And so I dressed up four of the fifth graders, put on giant, long, terrifying fingernails.
Oh my gosh.
Used spirit gum to glue giant buttons that I had made for my eyes to my face and was the other mother.
Oh my
and
gosh.
They ate it up.
Yes.
It was so great. So yes, I did cosplay whilst reading books to children. Thank you very much.
That's the dream.
No one who knows me is surprised by this.
I'm not surprised, but I am delighted to have this knowledge.
Yeah, it was great.
That's so great. So the Choose Your Own Adventure books, that actually reminded me. Have you read any of the, like, I mean, they're not like branded Choose Your Own Adventure, but that's basically what they are. Books for adults.
I have one.
Okay.
And it's just the most awful thing ever.
Oh, no.
And I don't think I have it on the shelf behind me right now, so I can't pull it off and tell you the exact title. But it's something about Texas chainsaw zombie motorcycle gang or something.
Oh,
something
wow.
Along those lines. I'll share that specific title with you.
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. So I read that one and it was terrible.
Mm.
And probably not in a good way. But also in a good way at the same time, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not great, but it's enjoyable. Have you?
Yeah. So this would probably be more up Claire's alley than yours, but I read one that was like a choose your own historical romance adventure.
Excellent. Yes, that is right up Claire's
yeah,
alley.
Yeah, I should tell her about that one. And then I also have another one that's called Lost in Austin, and it's just like all of the plots of all the Jane Austen novels mushed together, and then you do a choose your own adventure thing in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're really fun.
I have a friend of mine right now who, she is working on her first YA novel. I don't know if she's like at the querying stage or not, but on Twitter, she's doing a choose your own adventure Twitter story or something.
Yeah.
And I came across it last night. And I had missed like the first two or three, you know, choices, but it seems interesting.
It's just, yeah,
I can't remember exactly what the girl's like title is, but she's a witch who can manipulate string. Like she's not a weaver or. I can't remember what it's called, but it seems very interesting, and I started playing along the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Fun.
So her name is Amelia Loken. Everyone
okay.
Find her on Twitter and play along with her Choose Your Own Adventure story.
Check that out. I've seen a couple other authors do that on Twitter. Susan Dennard was doing that for a little while. I think hers is done, but yeah, that's another really interesting way to tell a story.
It really is.
It's like part Twitfic, but it's also like audience participation. That's really fun.
It's definitely intriguing.
What's the worst book you've ever read?
Okay.
Was it Hot Pterodactyl Boyfriend?
No.
Oh.
Surprisingly, it was not Hot Pterodactyl Boyfriend, although that book was just completely bonkers. But my worst book that I've ever read did come from my same discovery of Hot Pterodactyl Boyfriend, which is a bad YA book club that I was in. This book has a very famous author.
Hmm.
It's Model Land by Tyra Banks.
Oh, okay.
And it is just so bad.
Oh.
So bad in every single way, but it's so bad that you can't help but like it at the same time.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, it might just be me because it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. The characters have awful names. It's got an awful storyline. Just everything about it is terrible.
What genre is it?
I guess fantasy, maybe kind of dystopian-ish. Okay. It's hard to say. There's a modeling competition, but then it turns out, you know, that they're all, like, terrible creatures. It's weird. It's weird, and it's not good. But maybe you should read it.
Maybe I should. Should try
maybe
it
you should.
Because I'm thinking of, like, other books that, like, other novels that celebrities have written. And it was, like, Hilary Duff wrote a novel, and I think it was also dystopian. And then, like, Kylie and Kendall Jenner wrote, I think, like a two novel, like, duology, and it was also dystopian. So I'm like, are these celebrities who are writing novels, are they trying to, like, why do they keep writing dystopian novels?
Yeah, I don't know. What are they even doing? Why are they doing it?
Yeah. Do they even know why they're
doing
it?
No, they probably don't. And I'm pretty sure that when Tyra Banks was writing her novel, it was really just like she just smashed her hands on the keyboard and found things that looked like words but weren't really words and put them together to make something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to wonder, like, how much of it she actually wrote herself and how much of it was, like, a ghostwriter.
If this was done by a ghostwriter, I hope that they have never written anything else ever again.
Okay. Okay, I'm definitely reading this book.
you really need to. The main character's name is Tookie de la Creme.
Oh. That sounds like a cookie.
Yeah, and her mom goes by Creamy.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's pretty terrible.
But you know what book this is sounding kind of similar to, but a book that is actually good, in my opinion, is what? The Bells by Danielle Clayton.
You know, I have not read that.
Okay.
Should I read it?
I think you should, yeah. It's YA and it's dystopian.
Hey.
Yeah. But it sounds like it has kind of a similar thing. That's like, it's kind of science fiction, kind of fantasy. It's never quite explained if it's like magic or technology. Maybe it's kind of both. But there's like a way that they can like manipulate people's appearances.
Oh.
And so there's like kind of like a competition, I guess, between like all of these girls who are supposed to be going into like different professions within their society, or it's been a while since I've read it, so I don't remember exactly. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I know it got kind of mixed reviews, but I think it's probably definitely better than the Tyra Banks one.
It's probably definitely better than Model Land, although there are there's like seven girls that are chosen to be a part of this like modeling whatever program every year, and they're called Intoxabellas.
Oh.
Yeah. And there is a competition, and you know, like only so many of them make it at the end. And I'm pretty sure the ones that don't make it die. I'm not positive on that. I need to reread it. So maybe we should buddy read it. We should read it together.
Oh, we should do that. Yes. And start an entirely new podcast about it.
Yes. And in which we only discuss Model Land by Tyra Banks.
Yes. What if we did that, though?
I'm on board.
Okay. Yes.
You know, not to shock you, but I also cosplayed this.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
They wore terrible outfits, like green body suits with like tight shorts and weird like vests. And they have, in the cover of the book, has this elaborate eye with like yellow and green and purple all around it. So yeah, I employed one of my green cat suits.
That's, oh yeah, just, was, you know, that you just have lying around.
I do. in varying shades of green, in fact.
Oh, well, that's great.
I know. I'm telling everyone all of my secrets. I have too many spandex cat seeds, I think.
Or, well, maybe you have just the right amount. Just the right amount.
I don't know. She just wear them all the time.
So what if it was just a show where we just talked about terrible celebrity dystopian novels?
I think this is also fair. Who's going to edit it? That's the question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Neither of us. Let's hire someone else.
Yes. I'm like kind of serious though.
Oh, I'll do it for sure. And yeah. If you really do want to do it, we can take turns editing.
Okay. Let's do it then.
We both have skills.
We do. Can do it. Yeah. Yeah, we could take turns. That would work. Okay.
Yep. I'm on board. Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay. Okay, I don't know how we're going to like beat that.
There's no beating it.
So I was kind of curious about this, kind of going back to how like you, but when you're like reading books for fictional hangover versus when you're reading books just for yourself, how do you kind of like plan your TBR, you know, aside from what you're planning for the podcast, or how do you kind of manage that?
Well, luckily, as I said earlier, most of the books we discuss on the show are books that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have a schedule. We've scheduled out books so far in advance, but a lot of them are based on what we want to read. Mm-hmm. Like October, you know, horror books are my absolute favorite. So, of course, we're doing Scary Things in October, which is appropriate because yes. Halloween is in October.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm using it as an excuse to read some new horror books that have just come out. I'm particularly excited for Harrow Lake by Kat Ellis. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. Dawn Kurtigich, my favorite YA horror author, was pushing it a whole lot on Twitter and on Instagram. So we've had Dawn Kurtigich on the show a couple of times before, too. So when she starts talking about it, I'm like, okay, I'm on board because I like everything that you do. So surely I'm going to like this one. And they're going to, both Dawn Kurtigich and Kat Ellis are going to join us when we talk about Harrow Lake. So I'm excited about that. Cool. Yeah. And one of my favorite from a long time ago horror books is it's more like creepy gothic than it is horror. Mm-hmm. It's The Monstromologist by Rick Yancey.
Okay.
And I really enjoy that series. And I wanted Claire to read it. I want other people to read it. So I'm like, hey, we're doing horror stuff in October. So guess what? We're dusting this one off and bringing it back out.
All right.
There's like monsters, cryptids. Nice. It's pretty great.
I do love me some gothic fiction. So
yeah. Well, this is set in late 1800s. I can't remember the exact year, but the first one called The Monstromologist it introduces this scientist who studies monsters, as you might have guessed. And he has a young apprentice whose parents tragically died in a house fire. So he's taken this young boy on and they do some research into an anthropophagus, which is like a giant, like I think it's over 6 feet tall. This creature doesn't have a head. It has eyes in its shoulders and a mouth in its stomach, and it's terrifying beyond all reason.
Oh, great.
So go ahead and look forward to that one on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm always looking for good gothic fiction. We're actually on Pop DNA. We're doing a gothic fiction bonus episode for Halloween. So
nice, nice.
Yeah, don't tell anyone I told you, but yeah,
I won't. I will not tell.
Okay. Did you have any thoughts that you wanted to discuss on that? The Story Walk, the Olympia Story Walk article.
Yeah, I was really surprised reading that article because you know, libraries all across the United States do story walks. Mm-hmm. And it's like a trademarked thing that a librarian started. I can't, Pennsylvania, maybe? That could be a lie. You should fact check me.
Okay.
but, you know, they cut up picture books and place them through parks or through your library parking lot or all around town in local businesses. And it's just whatever picture book you want to choose. Mm-hmm. You know, librarians will pick their favorite picture books and buy two copies and cut them up and stick them on poster boards or in frames or whatever and throw them all around town. But seeing this one that was written specifically to be posted all over the place is just a brilliant idea, and I applaud that author for doing that. And it seems like a very, you know, tiny and adorable story that I'd like to I'd like to go and track down since we are in the general vicinity.
Yeah, it's in Olympia, downtown Olympia, so that's interesting. I think it said that it's there's six different stores in downtown Olympia where they have pages. Yeah.
Do you have to find them in order?
I'm not sure. That would be interesting.
Because, you know, when it's done on a smaller scale, you know, the path, like it's on a path and the path leads you to finding the next page. But I wonder with this one, you know, what happens if you just accidentally go to the bookstore where it's supposed to end and you see the last page? Then I know the article mentioned that they had maps for the other locations. So I wonder how you can read, you know, how you can read the story. Is it a choose your own adventure even?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Which way do you want to go next? Maybe we should work on that. That's going to be our next thing. Choose your own adventure story walks.
Yes. Oh, that would that would be so cool, though. That actually would be really, really cool.
We're pretty brilliant.
We
Rhonda.
Are. Like,
we've got a lot of good plans.
We really do. So at the end of the article, it says all of the book's pages will be displayed in the windows of six businesses.
Mm.
So it has all of the, like, each location has all the pages. That would seem to defeat the purpose.
I remember being a little bit confused by that. So maybe it's not that way. Maybe that was just not a well-written paragraph.
Maybe. That could very well be. Journalism.
Yeah.
It's not what it used to be.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah, but I am curious to go down and check that out.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I'd like to read the story. It seems like a very cute idea.
Mm-hmm.
What's the author? Karina Lukin?
Yes.
Is that
Karina
right?
Karina Lukin. And the book is called Nothing in Common. Oh, and so in the article it says that it's a deconstructed picture book experience. So maybe it doesn't matter what order you do it in if it's deconstructed.
Maybe it really is choose your own adventure.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I really think we should do it, but we can't call it Story Walk because that's trademarked.
Yes,
we'll have to call it something else.
Choose your own. Well, that's trademarked too, isn't it? Choose your own adventure.
Oh yeah, probably is. We'll come up with something. We'll come up with something later.
It's fine. Yes. We'll put a pin in that.
We will. Everyone doesn't need to know all of our secrets at once. Everyone needs to go and check out Fictional Hangover.
Of course. Especially
our most recent episode about Midnight Sun.
Yeah. Yeah. When I talked to Claire, we talked quite a bit about Midnight Sun. So I was anticipating this episode.
Oh, I see. Is that why you invited me back today? So we could talk more about Twilight and Midnight Sun?
That was like totally a coincidence. I wasn't even, I didn't even know when the Midnight Sun episode was coming out. So I was like, whatever.
Sure, Rhonda, you planned it. You needed someone to talk about Twilight with. Don't lie.
It's fine. I have been trying to get my cousins to start a Twilight podcast with me, but none of them like want to do it. So
what?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's another one that we can work on.
There we go. But where, so obviously people can find you on Fictional Hangover Podcast.
Yes, you can listen to my delightful stories every Wednesday. Our new episodes. We release an episode every Wednesday. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Fictional Hangover. You can find us on Facebook at Fictional Hangover, on Instagram, shockingly enough, at Fictional Hangover. Wow. On Twitter, at Fictional Hangover, no E-R.
No E-R.
We're throwing a wrench in with that one. There's no E-R for Fictional Hangover there.
It's we a also have a
website. Yes, it really is. We also have a website, fictionalhangover.com. You can buy Fictional Hangover-themed merchandise on Redbubble. This one also takes, it also employs that Fictional Hangover, no E-R, dot redbubble.com to buy merchandise.
And that's also where there's the t-shirt inspired by me, the décolletage.
Yes. Everyone go buy Rhonda's inspired décolletage t-shirt. You know you need it.
Definitely go check out Fictional Hangover. I mean, if you haven't after listening to Claire, now is the time. Because
really?
You've heard both of the co-hosts now. What are you waiting for? So
you will be spoiled.
Yes, you will be spoiled. I am quite often spoiled by Fictional Hangover, but I don't even care because it's so delightful.
Excellent. And you don't have to read all of these books.
Exactly.
But you can pretend that you've read them.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for chatting with me today. This was so much fun. We definitely need to... definitely need to circle back to a couple things here.
Yeah, we've got some work ahead of us.
We do.
Really do. We really do. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Of
course. We'll have to have you back on Fictional Hangover sometime soon, too.
Maybe we'll
do Model Land.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. Anytime.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Amanda for stopping by to chat with me today. You can find a list of all the books that we discussed, plus some links to a few other things we talked about, at rondawithabook.com. And that's also where you will find more of my bookish thoughts. And you can get exclusive bonus content through my Patreon. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, happy reading! Are you looking for your next great read, but stumped on where to find it? Let me be your book fairy godmother. When you join Rhonda with a Book on Patreon for $5 a month, I will send you a personalized book recommendation, plus my All Things Bookish newsletter every month, and give you a shout out and plug your project here on the podcast. If you're on a budget, no worries. For only $1 a month, you can get just the newsletter, which includes exclusive content not found on the blog, and a collection of links to articles, stories, and products book nerds will love. Curated by yours truly. Go to patreon.com/rondawithabook to join. Thanks so much for your support, and as always, happy reading.